Welcome back, Faye. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm just chilling. So last time we were talking, we talked about theater and the changing medium. Actually, we talked about mainly about art and digital mediums and how things might be changing in the near future. And I know that you worked on something that took theater to WhatsApp.
Yes.
You ready to talk about that?
I'm quite excited about it, actually.
Okay. So, as always, just the first question. What is the square root of 69?
8 or something.
Coolio, I see you're a Drake fan.
No, but it's fine. I don't hate Drake.
What you mean, no? How did you know the answer?
Because I'm old. When did that song come out?
Yeah, no. Don't remind us of our immortality. Cool. To get back on topic, it's basically, was it a few weeks ago, 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago? You had the shopping day at the National Arts Festival.
I did.
How did that go?
It went really well. So the National Arts Festival went digital this year, which was a huge deal. And they put a call out for new work. And so what I really wanted to do was explore what a theatrical experience would look like on WhatsApp. They liked the idea. They gave me money. They put me on the curated main program, which is amazing. We had all our shows sold out, and we had people from all over the globe tuned in, which was really great, to have people obviously in SA, Nigeria, Uganda, Kenya, Namibia, the US, the UK, Italy. Like, it was wild.
And what was the best audience reaction to the show?
We had asked people to send us some video comments, and there was this young man who sent nearly a 3-minute video just talking about how his mind was blown and how that was the best thing that he experienced, and he was really inspired. And why that stood out for me is that, like, none of us knew him, but to speak into camera for 3 minutes to people that you've never met, and just have such, like, a positive outpouring was really great to hear.
Okay, cool. Wonderful stuff. I was among the hundreds of people that were in attendance over WhatsApp. And yeah, it was an interesting thing to experience. And yeah, surely I see a lot of potential in it. And yeah, even tried recording the show or by screen recording on my phone, but apparently, my phone doesn't like me doing a lot of stuff at the same time. So it stopped recording, and I was like, ah, shit, I lost out on that. So, are people going to be able to see the show on YouTube anytime in the future?
I don't have plans to do that. I don't know. We can think about it, but I think that the excitement of viewing the show is that it happens live, that you see these messages coming on and popping off in real time, and you get annoyed and you wait for the people to respond. I don't think it's the same watching messages fly from a screen on a screen recording. It's not as personal,
Okay. So you want that liveness factor to it?
I mean, if more people ask, I mean, we could potentially look at screen recording it, but I don't think that it's something that, I think it takes away the magic. And I think you want to keep your unique selling point. And I think the liveness is one of them.
Okay, cool. So just to dig a little on the selling point, it's theater, first and foremost, right? So what are, name five plays you've watched in person and you have enjoyed?
I hate this. Because I've watched so much theater in my life, it's like books, you know, where sometimes it feels like water, like you're not going to remember them when somebody asks you, hey, what books have you read? But when you're sitting somewhere, you might be like, oh, I remember seeing this somewhere. I can tell you maybe influential plays in some ways.
Okay, cool. I'll take that.
Like, I remember seeing Cargo with my mom when I was little. It's a play with done by Magnet Theatre, and Neo Muyanga did the music, and it was about the slave trade on the Cape. But I remember, like, one of the props that they had on stage was this huge cargo box. Like, it was huge. It was bigger than people, you know, like, it was, like, it was like 2 meters high. And then at some point, this thing fell apart, but like it opened up, and then there were on the side like trenches with water. I don't know, there was something about seeing this on stage that was really exciting for me. Also seeing The Lion King at Monte Cassino, the musical, that was also amazing to me. Most of us, I guess, don't see puppets, right? We don't know what it means to be a puppeteer and the care and the majesty that puppets can bring. And so when you watch The Lion King and all these animals come to life, it was amazing. And I felt so connected because I knew all the songs. I was also really curious, like, how they were going to do the Buffalo Stampede. And somehow they made that come to life, and I was really scared, and that was amazing. And also that scene where Mufasa comes to talk to Simba, like when his spirit comes to talk and he appears in the sky. They did that. Like, all of a sudden, the background changed, but it wasn't like a backdrop. It was like these moving tiles came together to create Mufasa's face. Like, I remember watching that and just being blown away. What are the other, so those, that's two so far, right? I really enjoyed I Stand Corrected with Mamela Nyamza, and I'm not sure who the other woman is, but it was a response to gender-based violence and corrective rape and a lot of, you know, terrible things that our country is known for. And Mamela Nyamza is such a powerful performer. She moves worlds in her body. She, like, her body shapeshifts, and she does it a lot without words. That was incredibly powerful for me. And I remember, I don't know, I saw it in quite a small theater. It wasn't big at all. Who else? For some reason, I really love Lereko Mfono's play,
which is
I just went blank for a second. Not Kids from Amandla Street. It's the other one, the first one. Oh, Narrative Dreams, the first one I saw, which is Narrative Dreams, which is a tale about two boys, David and Morena, and how they search for the stars. And it's like aimed at 10 to 13-year-olds. But it's done really beautifully. I think that, like, since working for Acetage, like, I didn't know that people created work specifically for children and young audiences. And there was something that was really special to me in the storytelling that I fell in love with. And there was such a care for telling black stories that wasn't neat and pretty at the same, but at the same time, it wasn't about like poverty. It wasn't about like identity politics. I mean, all of it is there, but it was like really joyful. I don't know. I think there's a way that Lerekho brings characters to life with such nuance and takes young people seriously that I was just in awe of and I wanted more of, especially because like when I was a child, I remember spending so much time in the library and knowing that there were sections for children my age was so dope, right? And I think that you can find that in bookstores and libraries, but not so much when it comes to music or theater. To so to see that on stage was great. That's four. Do you really want a fifth one?
Throw in the fifth one just for composure.
Composure, composure. Hectic. I need to think of a piece of theater that I saw multiple times. I'm not so sure how I feel about it now, but when it first came out, I think I saw The Fall maybe four times.
What is the
The Fall, it is a theater piece around the Fismes Fall movement.
Oh, the fall. Oh, okay.
Yeah, the
Oh, yeah, I
fall.
watched it at the stage theater. It's also, I think, in my top five.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if it's in my top five of theater. I don't think I have a top five of theater, but that piece was special to me because of how they told the story, because they were close to my age, because I think they captured the spirit the spirit and the zeitgeist of what was going on, and were able to tell that theatrically in a way that was poignant. I was also in awe of the support that they received from the Baxter, that they were able to travel with it. Also seeing each of the actors grow into their craft and do amazing things. So Tankiso Mamabolo and Cleo Ratis, and even Sizwe, exploring their musical roots afterwards. Oarebile, he's in Joburg. I think he's doing a lot more screen work. Amira Conrad traveled to the UK, is lecturing, is writing plays, is directing plays, and her career has really taken off. Then you've also got Sihle, who's just out here being a fashion killer, but also has worked on film now, has also done stage work, has also done some TV. And so it's also great to see young black people flourish and take control of their careers and also be given up the opportunity to do that.
Okay, dope stuff. Yeah, dope five right there. So, just to sidetrack a bit, with regards to the top five conversation, I just realized that if you are a rapper, right, and you notice that the top five question is getting brought up a lot, you actually incentivize to call yourself a top five MC in your music, or because that is marketing. And every time anyone who listens to your music has ever asked that question, they'd be like, who's in my top five? And if they remember a lyric of you saying number one, two, five, then they call your name. Oh, that's Kendrick. Kendrick is in my top five. Rappers who don't proclaim themselves as being top five will probably have a harder time displacing the dead rappers from the list.
It really is about marketing. Like, this is also what I feel about my production. Like, I can, because I haven't seen anyone publicly criticize my work. It's only people like you will say, this is what I didn't like, or whatever it is. So there are some people who will see my social media and be like, oh my gosh, I missed out on this thing. Like, why wasn't I there? And it's my responsibility to control that narrative and say, this is how I want to position this product. This is how I want to improve my product. And if you want to be part of this journey, then holla at me, you know? Okay.
Yeah. So to bring it back on track as well, on the file you've mentioned, you substantiated why you're naming them. Of the properties that you've mentioned from what you've enjoyed in theater, which of those do you think did not translate well on WhatsApp?
What, of my top five?
Not off your top five. Like, you've mentioned a few things, a few properties, you know, like seeing the puppets come to life. You've mentioned the how the fall actually captured the movement, the Fees Must Fall movement quite well, and told that story without bias, or told that story from a good perspective. And the actors as well involved, and how I forgot which one it was, but the play specifically for the kids, and how that kind of added to your understanding of theater or of entertainment, that there's actually things that are specifically created for the consumption of kids, so on and so forth. So yeah, you've mentioned quite a number of things, but from the things you've mentioned, which would you say do not map well when you put the stuff on WhatsApp, when you put the play on WhatsApp?
I don't. Well, the first thing is that you wouldn't be able to do a musical on WhatsApp.
Why not?
You wouldn't be able to do it. Also, music is hella tricky because of royalties. So just the legal, like, minefield that you'd have to play is tricky. Also because the content stays on people's phones. No. So you, like with WhatsApp, you can't just delete a message for everybody. You can delete a message if no one has read it. But otherwise, you can't delete any messages for that other person once they've opened it.
Yeah, and what they did after, you know, receiving it.
Right. So you can't even delete a group, not properly, not for like everyone in the group. So there are things like that make it very tricky to do something like a musical, because people will have the tracks, they'll have the soundtracks with them, and they'll have them in files that are easy to send. And then playing around with visual elements is strange. I mean, like I told you about the huge cargo box in Cargo. So in WhatsApp, people don't necessarily have these images that are constantly there for them to think about or engage with, unless they are consistently referenced by the characters or... like there's an emoji that's persistent. Like you, the audience has to deal a lot with their imagination. or does that is that element brought in through like a picture, and do you use your picture sparsely? So there are things like that that you'd have to consider when translating something like that onto a WhatsApp forum. Also, WhatsApp doesn't do well with body movements. You're not looking at the body. So some people have compared it to radio drama, in the sense that the characters are not physical beings. I mean, they are, obviously, but everyone could have a different interpretation of what this character looks like, what they dress like, what they sound like. And so that's also interesting to play with, you know, like, do people need all of that? Is it better to leave that open-ended? Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Interesting. Well, yeah. I think they're all applicable. And I think the musical side is quite interesting, you know, just because of the limitations you mentioned. I actually see it as a plus for other people, you know, like your Kabza De Smalls. If ever he's dropping an album or he's dropping whatever single, he just sets up a WhatsApp group, a broadcast WhatsApp group, or whatever, and then drops it in there, and then the reach just is broader than just waiting for people to get your song on Spotify or on Apple. But, you know, stuff like that. You mentioned the issue of phone numbers being visible when we were having conversations before the show, being visible to every other member. So if WhatsApp ever allows group admins to hide that, people's phone numbers, it would be quite a good vessel for people releasing their music. So what else is there, though? So, oh yeah, on the topic of the props being used in the show, I find it interesting because you guys did stage transition, the equivalent of a stage transition, where you would move away from the group chat, which is where most of the story was being told, and you would slide into the DMs, where your side characters would have side conversations between one-on-one conversations, and then you would move back into the group chat. And yeah, I found that interesting, and yeah. It's one of those things where it's like, that's interesting. If you are telling a story, do you use the constraints as a hard constraint, or do you use the constraints as a soft constraint? Because at the end of the day, as long as people read the messages, they will know that, oh, now we're in private and now we're in public. But what pushed for you guys to actually then say, okay, we're going to have a stage switch and move away from the group chat and tell the story that's happening in the private chat?
Yo, that's something for the the writer and the director, because we did think about, like, do we state that or not? Because some people found it annoying, other people find it really interesting or helpful. I don't think we have clarity on that yet. And I think that that's something that we're going to have to continually ask as we do more stories and just figure out, like, where can we push the boundaries? Where do we have to hold the audience? Where can we trust the audience to do their own, to infer? But I think it's still so new. It's not, like, by all means universal, right? Our sample size is way too small for us to say anything concrete, you know. But going back to your thing about music, like, yes, I ultimately want to use WhatsApp. Well, part of the things that I want to do when creating stories is figure out a way to plug creatives and to highlight particular creatives, because essentially this WhatsApp platform allows for direct-to-consumer marketing. It allows people to, and that thing stays on their phone, so people can continuously reference that thing, you know. So if we create, like you said, okay, like let me not tell you my other idea, but like you said, if we have a song that the character,
yeah, I might steal it.
No, I don't think you steal it. It's not about that. But like, say you had a track that, you know, the character's bumping, or like they're like, oh, this is the theme song of our group. You could potentially create a lot of traffic for a new artist. And it's something, but you have to do it organically. So it's not like, hey guys, listen to my music. You just drop it in the WhatsApp group as something that the characters reference. On our social media, we can also reference a track. You know, say check the link in our bio and see if it explodes like that. There's a lot of ways to play with, in my head, local businesses and partnering with them to create narratives around their product and narratives that speak directly to where people are at. I think that would be really fun to explore.
Okay. Cool. Yeah. So, at the root of all theater is basically a story, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I remember, I don't know which video I was watching, but some guy was talking about how he experienced, oh yeah, it was a wrestling video, a video essay on wrestling. And the dude was basically saying he was bored when he was reading Shakespeare in high school or back in school, whatever. And watching wrestling, and he showed a clip of Booker T saying the N-word.
Mm-hmm.
And he said the moment he saw that, he realized that Shakespeare was technically written not to be read off the stage, but to be read off the stage. And so it's boring when a person reads it off the page because they are not doing those extra bits and making words longer than they should be for effect, which is what wrestlers do whenever they speak. I am going to beat you! Or my The Rock saying, what's this? Can you smell what The Rock is cooking? Or even The Rock again. If it's the me, or blah, blah, blah. Everyone knows how that goes. So if someone would read these taglines, they wouldn't get the, you know, the loudness that I just did, which probably is going to irritate whoever's listening to this. They won't get the same energy. But when The Rock or Mr. McMahon wrote his tagline, it was, you know, for that energy. They knew that that energy is what's going to make the tagline work. And also, I'm going to stick to wrestling since I'm still here. They're telling a story over a long period of time, but okay, let me not include the long period of time issue. Wrestling is also telling a story, which is mainly a story of conflict, whether it's conflict between two people or a story of accomplishment where someone is trying to get the heavyweight title for the first time, Mick Foley or some guy who just doesn't look like a champion. Or even John Cena, when he got his title for the first time, it was a story of, can I do this? Have I put in enough work to actually do this? So that's a story that they are telling. So now with WhatsApp, right, there's two things. These are the two things that I maybe want to talk about. Energy, because it's really hard to get energy from your phone. And story. I believe you can tell a story in different mediums, which is also why the WhatsApp theater works. But execution is the main issue. So for you, how would you best deliver energy and story via WhatsApp theater?
I don't know. It's something that I'm exploring. Like, I'm not there yet. I just wanted to firstly prove that it could work and prove that there would be people interested in it. And I think that we did that. As far for story ideas and things like that, I'd still have to explore it. I mean, I don't think everyone has the same reaction with you. I know you were dissatisfied, but I mean, like, I had a friend who works in film and he was really excited about it. And what one of the things that he really enjoyed about the writing is that he felt that people were written almost like sitcom characters. So there were very clear signifiers to the audience of what kind of person this was. So kind of like playing to certain archetypes. And a couple of other people had also noticed the same thing. So those were like character signifiers that were helpful for the audience. Would that work all the time? I don't know. We'll see. Some people, after a preview, people had said that they wanted to get more of a sense of what the characters looked like. And we could do that through adding pictures. So we try to do that. And that's why the pictures of Jay and like one of Z and one of Kwesi. But again, we're still at the beginning of our exploration phase, and I think they can it can be pushed more, but I don't think necessarily, like, I don't have an answer for you. That's not necessarily what we were looking for this run. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's still very new, like once you've had a couple of iterations or had a couple of revisions, you can start making claims and saying this is the best way to execute this kind of story, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool stuff. Well, all in all, it was a great experience. It was a dope idea, interesting execution. And yeah, I just have my own reservations because I see things. Well, I consume a lot of digital media, so that is the first issue for me, and I will just be comparing stuff every time. And yeah, but the story was to people who didn't watch, because people do not really support art in this world called Earth. It was a zombie story where and also a lockdown story, because you know, you have to throw in the lockdown as well, but lockdown was a partial bit, and that's all I'm gonna say just in case they reshow it. And yeah, it was quite interesting. I personally didn't like the voice notes because I hate voice notes. I'm just one of those people. And the pictures were dope, and there was also a video. Yeah, the videos were worth it, and because the videos actually pushed the story forward. So for me, it's a velocity type of thing. And it's the same thing in chat as well. If I would send a voice note to someone, I'd only send it when I'm doing something significant. And videos as well. You know, there's some things you want to show someone, and you just need to show a video. And I think you guys use videos very well. And voice notes, I'm just not a fan of to start off with, but I think you guys use them well as well, because there was a point where you used them on the PA system, and it was the guy sent the voice note by accident on the PA system and stuff like that. But yeah, and that told the story, moved the story forward as well. And yeah, so yeah, when would the next one be?
September, hopefully. I've just put us forward for some funding. They will hopefully get us to evolve some of the audiovisual elements, which I'm really excited about. I'm actually really excited about the person who is interested in partnering with us on the project. I just need the funding to come through and for people to say, hell yes, this thing is dope. And then I'm hoping to leverage that into an independent run, and then we can see if people are actually willing to pay for such an experience and how much they're willing to pay. So yeah, that's potentially very exciting. So we're holding thumbs right now.
Okay. Well, dope stuff. I congratulate you and your hustle. I'll also be tuned in the next one, and I'll buy a ticket in the next one, and I'll be there trying to record again. I'll probably get a burner phone just to record this one so that I can continue using my phone while the play is going on. Yeah, but wonderful stuff. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, I guess thank you for having me. Thank you for being such a supporter of people and their ideas. Ever since I've met you, you've come to, I think, everything that I try out. I don't take it for granted at all. So, you know, thank you. And thank you for creating another space to explore ideas. It's really commendable.
Okay, coolio. Just keep doing what you're doing and then make that man. If WhatsApp Theater becomes an international phenomenon, I want to know that you're a millionaire, not by chance, but by hustle.
Hectic. Okay. Well, you see, then you're supposed to come and say, Faye, let me offer my services in the digital world. Let's talk about IP protection and like digital what's.
Technically, you know all the IP protection stuff because you're in the art space. I've told you my ideas on monetization and cutting a budget, but you don't want to cut the budget, and I understand and I respect.
This is not clear to your audience. Yes. I had said that I wanted to try WhatsApp Theater was a way that I felt there was a medium that could potentially be quite accessible for both the audience and for actors, which is relevant because theaters are closed, guys, and a lot of people can't do streaming or make theater to stream because it's expensive. You need money, right? Like in terms of equipment, like the camera that you're using, the lighting. If people do go into theater, it has to be COVID compliant, so all the temperature checks, all the cleaning, it can be very expensive unless you have like a big company or funding body funding you, right? And we're seeing theaters close down, like the Fugard is not opening until late next year. That's huge. Right. And I think in the next couple of months we're going to see the same thing with other spaces, right? And the Mask theaters also, I think, on its last legs. We're seeing restaurants also and musicians working together because they're saying musicians aren't making money because a lot of musicians they play in restaurants, right?
Yeah.
So what I was trying to say is that like with WhatsApp, all you really need is a phone. And if we can make theater that allows actors to be paid, that is really dope. This contributing something to the livelihoods of artists. And you were like, why don't you get chatbots? Now, I understand that you can create programs that are neater, that work better, that respond in certain ways and could simulate the same experience. However, it goes against everything that I want to do with this particular medium.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just saying the offer still stands.
Sure.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but it's great. Sure. I think that's about it for the day. We are about to hit the 40-minute mark. To everyone listening, that has been a Stage Fright episode.